Welcome back to the Everything is a Primary Source podcast. I'm Eric Paul. I've got a pretty short episode for you today, but that doesn't mean it's short on education and entertainment. Katarina, a fellow social studies educator with whom I spoke in her home city of Nashville, Tennessee this past fall, chose to talk about Usher's 2004 hit with Ludacris and Lil Jon, Yeah, and see what it can tell us about the time period. Perfect timing, because I'm releasing this episode on Super Bowl Sunday 2024, where Usher is going to be performing in the halftime show. Speaking of fellow social studies teachers, though, I'd like to tell you about a new feature over at everythinghistory.com, the Everything is a Primary Source classroom. I have over 100 episodes of this podcast, but they're not posted in chronological order, or logical order for that matter, and that's on purpose. But over on everythinghistory.com, you'll find all of them grouped together by decade of the 20th century and beyond. Previewing the episodes for classroom use is essential, but I've already learned from educators that these secondary sources about primary sources are great supplements to their curriculum. So check out everything-history.com today. And now, on to the podcast. I'm here with Katarina in your home city. This is Nashville, Tennessee.
It is.
And this has just been a great conference. Have you enjoyed it so far?
I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I got to come Friday, today, and tomorrow.
Okay, so you're going to be all the way through Sunday
I'll
and everything.
I'll be here through Sunday. I didn't get to do the beginning portion.
Okay.
Because I was teaching.
I
was busy.
I'm the same way. I was like, I had another conference earlier this week up in
wow.
New Hampshire, a technology conference, and the Krista McAuliffe Memorial Technology Conference.
Oh, wow.
And I always,
yeah.
I speak to about her. She
yeah.
was one of my inspirations to be a social studies teacher.
Right,
she was such a wonderful person. I said it then, and I'll say it again now. If Krista McAuliffe had podcasting technology in her classroom, in the 80s, she would have definitely used it, because that's the kind of teacher she was. And I can tell that's the kind of teacher you are, too.
Yeah.
You're always looking for ways to get the kids to
that
be excited about
that
the
I
subject.
Am.
And so today we're going to be talking about Usher.
Mm-hmm.
And that connects to, so I, for those of you who are not here right now and just listening to it, I brought a whole book of pop culture artifacts. And one is a picture from the Super Bowl in, that would be 2004, I think.
Yes.
And
with Janet and Justin Timberlake.
What they call it? What they refer to it as?
That was the infamous
wardrobe malfunction.
There
that was
you
it.
Go.
That's the term that we got familiar with after that.
Yes.
And coincidentally, we have from the same month and year a release by Usher, who is going to be performing at this Super Bowl.
Yes.
So this, I'm
so excited.
You know
for
right now when this episode will air is
okay.
will be the night of that week of the Super Bowl.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, it is now because we're talking about the Super Bowl and the guy who's going to be in the
yes,
Super Bowl. So
yes.
it's all works. Look at how it all just comes together.
I know.
So the question that we're going to be talking about is what was the maker's role or status in society? What I catch right away, this must say something about where his celebrity status was at that time. The cover art for that single just has two words and a guy standing there. Usher.
And the name
yeah.
of the song, yeah.
So he probably wouldn't be able to do that if he was a new artist, right?
No, he wouldn't. So he's Usher. This was probably, I can't say his peak, because he is like doing it now. Like having a residency in Las Vegas is pretty monumental, but he was doing extremely well at that point. He started as a child artist, and he was beginning to really sit in the pocket and have his groove when Yeah came out. Like, the song was all over the airwaves.
I can still hear it now.
I know.
Like, it just was
I'm
on.
Hearing,
I was like,
yeah. I know. That's me, too.
And it's like, you can't even make a song like that as a new artist. Mm-hmm. You have to build up at least some credibility as an actual musician and entertainer.
And he was paying his dues. I mean, he left home. He was like a Chattanooga, Tennessee
okay.
boy. So he left there to go and get tutelage under P. Diddy, who's also controversial right now, but under Puffy, and he was being like mentored and to come into something like this. So it worked. The mentorship worked, but he had to make a lot of sacrifices. He left his family, left his hometown so that he can get to that point.
Do you think that he could kind of read the scene in the late 90s or so, that he knew that if he worked hard enough and his raw talent, that he would emerge as somebody who could just refer to themselves as one name and sell albums to the platinum level or records with a single word on the title? Do you think he saw that?
I know that to some extent he had to, because he was working towards it with, you know, at a feverish pace.
Yeah.
So I think to some extent he had to know it. Don't know how much, but yes, he definitely had to know that. Because he was putting a lot of legwork, and he was putting in the work.
Yeah. And that era is early downloading of music time period. I think iTunes was probably just arriving in the early
2000s. I think they probably were still burning CDs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I can still... Well, and it's funny, because earlier today we were talking with... I was talking with somebody else about the movie or the documentary Super Size Me. And that also came out that same year.
Okay.
And I can't help but notice that throughout the early 2000s, the use of like the very clean white background is everywhere.
That's true.
Because I feel like that whole like simplicity, very
and
minimalist.
And now you probably would have somebody saying that, don't do that. He has on a white t-shirt, white background.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Now it would be much busier.
Yeah.
Well, actually, and a few years before that, remember with those artists like in the late 90s, early, like exactly the year 2000, you had like these over the top
outfits.
Like, and they were, I can think of, I forget the guy's name right now. He was a
MC
rapper.
Hammer.
Not MC Hammer, but there was another rapper from that era where it was like he's on top of a tank and.
Was it Mace or?
One of the, I'll find it.
Yeah,
and
I'm not,
you know what I'm talking about. That's like,
was it with a red outfit and like?
Might have been.
That was Missy Elliott. Like she
no,
had.
No, it was.
Okay.
I'll look it up and we'll get back to it.
Yeah,
it's like, even like Snoop Dogg had like he's sitting on a throne. And it's like, and it's like over the top ridiculousness, very egomaniac kind of look to him. And then just a couple years later, you get this simple, basic.
It's just me. It's just Usher.
And it just so fits the time period because
we
were trying so hard. But so that's the perception.
Mm-hmm.
But you just mentioned burning CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I always picture the early 2000s as like people wanted it to be nice and clean and modern and efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it looked like. Do you have a drawer at home like I do that's full of all these cables and chargers?
I do.
And you pull one up and all of them, it's like an octopus.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, God. That's the 2000s to me.
Okay.
Because it's like every year it seemed a new technology showed up. And, you know, digital camera, new kind of cell phone.
Yeah.
And each one had a whole new different charger
adapter,
that we had to bring
and
adapt
it. Yeah.
And so we ended up...
And that's what I have. I'm like, I keep those things. I try to say it's nostalgia and I don't want to show my kids, but I have like a cell phone from the 1990s.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
I do too. And I don't know why I won't just throw it away. I have this like weird fixation.
And I pull
that,
it out and they're like, ugh.
That, like, I'm like,
why do you have that? Put it away. No,
it's like,
I'm not.
I think we're because we grew up in the 20th century,
we
know that... There used to be people that could fix stuff.
Right.
You know, so like, well, one day I'll get this thing working again.
I found the phone on like eBay and things like that. So it still exists too. There's other people like me out there.
Well, I think we're going to go back to a simpler time
technologically.
I think we're at a point right now where people are getting overloaded with apps, overloaded with websites, overloaded with all that stuff. AI, you know, don't get me started on that. It's an overload.
Right.
And I think it won't be long. I mean, look at what we're doing right now.
Right.
This is
having a conversation.
This was a technique that used to exist. I mean, radio has been around for a reason and has stayed strong for a reason.
And recording things for posterity purposes.
Yeah.
Like, I had, again, in the 90s when I was in college, I had the automated tape recorder so that I can record my professors and make sure I didn't miss anything. So, same concept.
Same idea. And Usher... In his time period, make it sound like it's like ancient history, but 20 years ago, had to rely on the radio.
He did.
The same way. He wouldn't be able to, I don't know if you saw, if you watched Saturday Night Live, but there was this great Saturday Night Live skit a few weeks ago. It was the 50th anniversary of hip hop, and they were doing an interview, and it was all, you know, it was the actors portraying, and right. It was a panel made up of, why is her name, who's the woman, why do I not know anybody's name right now? I'm on the spot.
I didn't see that one, so I can't help.
It was a panel of all these people, and then they have this new rapper who's like a TikTok sensation. Instagram guy, and he was played by an actor, but he's like, I don't even know who any of you are.
Oh,
he's
wow.
like, I just had 2 billion downloads yesterday, and his music's awful, and it's not even, and it's like, that's where we've gotten now,
right.
where you do not need to rely on the radio at
and
all.
And that's different, though. Even people of Usher's genre, like, they pay respect to those that came before them. So to hear you say the TikTok person, like, I don't even know you.
Exactly, and that was the point they were making with the video.
That's crazy.
Like, Usher... ushered in whole era.
I like the pun.
it's perfect for him. His longevity, that hard work has paid off.
Right.
He's maintained that one name status for this whole time. He's going to be at the Super Bowl this year.
And he has a residency going on in Las Vegas right now.
And all you need is a sign that says Usher.
It was supposed to end in October. It was so popular it had to be extended through December, like until December. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Tickets are like $600.
That's
ridiculous.
Although that's a fraction of what people are going to pay for the Super Bowl this year.
I know, but still, like, that's the average person is struggling.
I just learned
to go see him.
I just learned last year. I didn't know this until just last year when I'm not even going to bother trying to remember this person because I always mess it up. But that the artists that perform at the Super Bowl, they pay for it themselves. I always thought the NFL invited them. And maybe they have in the past, but in recent years... the artist or the record company pays for them to be on.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a way for them to continue their, you know, to keep their status and relevancy. But especially...
and to reach a new audience.
Right.
Like people that don't,
People that wouldn't otherwise... And that's why I think it's important to put on a great show. And
that's
I think Usher's going to do that because he's known for it.
Right.
But one of the exceptions I can think of, and I actually did a special on this a couple years ago, was when U2 performed right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And in that circumstance, I know the NFL did reach out to U2 and ask them specifically because they knew that an Irish band known for their affection of America, and I mean, they famously came to Memphis a couple, you know, in that time period and recorded stuff at Sun Studios. Mm-hmm. They are very deeply... admirers of American culture and everything like that, that they would be a great presenter of a heartfelt tribute to the country after 9/11.
Yeah.
But I think most of the time, especially in the last 10 years, pretty much ever since this wardrobe malfunction, the NFL's been very careful, and they're like, okay, you put up the money.
Right.
And then you're going to have to put on a really good show to keep us from getting the heat for, you know, it's not us, you know. But I think that the hard work that gave him the status in 2004 to produce that kind of music is going to carry over in 2024, 20 years later. What do you think his opening song will be?
Wouldn't it be great if it was you?
Yeah, well, all those gamblers out there. Las Vegas, speaking of Las Vegas, he might... Oh, man, that might be, like, an in for him, right? He could get in some trouble if he's, like... Because they gamble on everything with the Super Bowl. They gamble, like, which...
I can see that.
And
like,
so,
gambling on which song will he do first.
Yeah. So you might have spies within, you know, dropping in on Usher's...
I don't know.
Now that you mention that we could be breaking a... whole investigation starts because of this podcast, and Usher sues us. Usher, we like you. Sorry. Don't
definitely
do it.
Definitely love you, Usher, yes.
Katarina, it's been so much fun
talking to you,
and I hope it's not the last time.
My first podcast, and I hope it won't be my last time.
It will not be, I guarantee it. All right, have a great one. The people whose names I shorted out on are Master P and Mary J. Blige. Oh, the perils of live on the spot podcasting. Please rate and follow this podcast wherever you are listening to it right now, and share it with everyone you know. You can follow the Everything is a Primary Source podcast on social media, including YouTube and especially Instagram. Show notes, which expound on each episode, and essays about history and pop culture can be found on Substack. The hub for all these things is everything-history.com. Thank you for listening to the EPS podcast, where everything is a primary source.